You are listening to Life Science Connect Radio. Broadcasting live from New York and direct from the show floor of Interphex. Advancing the processing of life-enhancing drugs. Life Science Connect and Interphex, together in the Big Apple. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good afternoon. This is Todd and Todd live in New York, Life Science Connect Radio on location direct from Interphex Day 2. Todd, an exciting guest up next, but wow, having a great day learning some cool stuff.
Every guest seems to get better than the last one, doesn't it?
I got to tell you, it's been a parade of amazing talent, amazing conversation. I suspect our next guest will be no different. Say hello to Grant Rowe. He's a product manager with Bullard. Grant, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Todd. And Todd, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, the pleasure is ours. Thanks for stopping by and joining us, Grant. Before we get into a conversation around Bullard, take a quick few seconds. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I've been with Bullard about 15 years, the first five of those as a manufacturing engineer. And then I started in product management for the respiratory protection line about 10 years ago. And I've been coming to Interphex most of those 10 years as we sell respirators to many industries, but the one that we concentrate on the most is the pharmaceutical manufacturing industry.
All right. Well, go deep on Bullard. Give us a 10,000-foot view. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
So Bullard's been in the safety business since 1898, and we've been providing respiratory protection to the pharmaceutical manufacturing industry since 1983. So for over 30 years, when we developed one of the first Tykem disposable hood-style respirators for Eli Lilly in Indianapolis. And so there's many respirators out there, but we specialize in supplied air and powered air purifying respirators. And we emphasize some pharma specifics like quick donning and easy decontamination, high protection, and then cross-contamination prevention.
Well, respiratory protection in the pharmaceutical industry, why is it different? Why is it more important? Why is it more difficult?
Well, gosh, the workers in the pharmaceutical manufacturing industry, they do such a valuable job, you know, formulating the medicines that heal so many people. And, you know, it's important to heal those people that take those medicines, but it's also very important to protect the workers that are making them. And, you know, it's the consumers of the medicine that need the dose, not the workers making the medicine. So we're very proud to help protect those workers while they're making the pharmaceuticals so they don't get unintended doses before they go home. And many of these pharmaceutical ingredients can be very potent. And they're designed for specific things. So the average worker doesn't need any of that, and they actually need protection from that because a medicine can be harmful to someone that's not the intended patient. So these things get airborne during the processing in these manufacturing facilities, and we make these respirators to protect anything from the airborne contaminants. And, you know, OSHA, they categorize respirators with levels of protection. They call them assigned protection factors. And we offer, many of our respirators carry a 1,000 assigned protection factor, which is actually the highest category that OSHA offers for any respirator other than an SCBA, which is the type of the respirator a fireman wears. So we're very happy to protect those workers as they help make the drugs that heal so many people.
What precisely is the market for these respirators? I mean, who should be considering purchasing machines like this?
Yeah, well, so in general, you kind of start with just any business has to perform a hazard assessment. That's what OSHA requires. And they look at all aspects of what goes on in a facility. And when it comes to respiratory protection, if that hazard assessment reveals that there's airborne contaminants at concentrations above OSHA's permissible exposure limit, then they have to take measures to address that. And respiratory protection is usually the most effective and economical way of addressing that. Now, when it comes to other facilities, maybe they already have a solid respiratory protection program already in place, but maybe their equipment's kind of aging. So for them, it might be more a matter of looking at the newer and improved technology. And then for others, it may be that they're bringing a new process online. Maybe it's more potent or dealing with other chemicals that they haven't used before, and they need to make sure that their respiratory protection is appropriate for whatever the new process is.
Well, talk a little bit about how I should go about making a decision. What factors do I need to consider? What do I need to think about?
Yeah, so there's two big categories that are commonly used in these facilities as they do the manufacturing, and that is the supplied air respirator, and that's where a compressed air source is providing grade D breathable air to the respirator. but you are have an air supply hose that you're tethered to. The other kind is the powered air purifying respirator. That involves a waste pack, usually, that has a motor and a filter in it powered by a battery. This gives you more portability. And so the first decision is which respirator is appropriate and which do you prefer from a portability standpoint. Now, if we dig into the supplied air side a little bit more, you're going to look at the head top. You know, we're sending filtered or clean air up to your head top to make a positive pressure to keep out the airborne contaminants. And there's some considerations in that head top. The first thing is you want the air to flow across the lens. This helps keep the lens from fogging up, much like the defroster in your windshield in your car. The next thing is, you know, what protection factor do you need? Not everyone needs 1,000. Some only need a 25, and so there's different hood options depending upon the protection factor that you need. And then, do you want a personal climate device? There's actually technology. It's called Vortex technology. It spins the air coming into the respirator so fast that the air will separate into hot and cold components. And if you want to be colder, you can configure a device a certain way and actually change the delta temperature by as much as 15 to 30 degrees. And vice versa, you can go to a warming device and warm up that much. Now, if you're choosing the portable, the untethered powered air purifying respirator, you have to make sure, since you're using a filter, that you your contaminant actually has a filter that exists for it. Not every chemical can be filtered out, so that's why sometimes they have to go the supplied air route and just use fresh air all the time. The same head top considerations carry over, the same protection factor considerations carry over, but then not every powered air purifying respirator can deliver the same amount of airflow. The government requires all respiratory manufacturers to send their equipment to the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, and they test it for a minimum of at least 6 cubic feet per minute of airflow. Most workers want a lot more than that. 6 is just not enough to make them feel comfortable. So there's respirators, PAPRs, such as the one Fullard sells, can provide as much as 8.5 CFM. That's more than 40% than the government minimum, and workers really like that. Then they should look at ergonomic weight and balance. They might be wearing these devices for 4, 8, sometimes longer, maybe even 10 hours on a shift. And so the ergonomics are very important to prevent fatigue, injury, keep morale up, keep productivity up. Then because these are battery-powered devices, the battery technology is very important. You know, there was NiCad batteries, and you might remember from early days of cell phones and laptops that they may stop holding a charge pretty early in their life because they develop what they call a memory issue. So then things evolved to nickel metal hydride batteries, and those worked a lot better. But now we live in an age of lithium ion batteries, and they provide the longest running power for the least amount of weight, but they can also offer things like fuel gauges where you can see what your battery status is at all times. So that's a very important consideration. The belt that holds the blower on is very important. Most pharmaceutical companies want to make sure everything is very easy to wipe down, clean off, it doesn't have any contaminant traps, that they can get pharmaceutical A mixed in with pharmaceutical B later. So we design everything to be smooth, but also ergonomic, so it kind of hugs the hips and reduces that fatigue. Chargers are very important. If you have batteries, you have chargers. In the early days, you could only leave your battery on a charger so long before you had to remove it, otherwise the battery could actually be damaged. And then they made what they call smart chargers that could sense when the battery was almost full and change from a rapid charge to a trickle charge and just top it off slowly. But now we have something called a genius charger, and not only can you do all those things that we just talked about, but you can actually connect your charger to your laptop and get diagnostic information from the battery. The date of manufacture, the serial number, the number of charge and discharge cycles, how long it will take to charge it the next time, what the existing capacity is, what the voltage is, all sorts of things that help people know if their battery is still good and healthy when maybe it might need to be replaced. Flow control is important for devices. Remember I said that the amount of air that you get from the device is very important. Well, this may change depending upon conditions. Maybe they're doing tableting and they're creating a lot of dust in their process, and that's going to load up the filter, and that's going to be a restriction. Not every powered air purifying respirator can overcome that restriction, but one of our devices has a mass flow sensor in it with a feedback loop, and it actually changes the RPM of the motor to keep the flow constant even when there's a greater restriction due to something like a high loading. They also self-adjust for altitude. some power air purifying respirators on the market cannot do that. They actually advise in their manual that above 2,800 feet they can't. And this makes sense. The air is thinner, and if you can't increase the RPM, then you're not going to deliver the same mass of airflow to the worker. And the last one I would like to say is alarms. So just like in your car, you want to know when your battery of the car is getting low, or you want to know when we need to check the engine, or you want to know when it's time to fuel your gas tank again. And these alarms are helpful. So with powered air purifying devices, you might look at the alarms. Is there an alarm for low battery? Is there an alarm for low flow? And these give people a lot of peace of mind that, okay, while I'm doing my work, this is going to let me know if there's something else that I need to pay attention to. And that gives them a great security while they do their work.
Goodness gracious, Todd. I'm glad there's someone like Grant thinking about all these details. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
You know, Grant, you've touched on this throughout the duration of this broadcast, but there's other personal protective equipment vendors at this in this hall right now. Talk about, summarize for us what makes Bullard different.
Well, you know, with this type of personal protective equipment, there's really only one other manufacturer here exhibiting. And so that's one of the main things that differentiates us. We focus on pharma. There's folks that are bigger than us, and they've chosen not to focus on this market. So we really differentiate ourselves by immersing ourselves in this industry, and we use that knowledge that we gain from the immersion to put it into the products that we design. So, you know, we don up and go into the manufacturing suites with our customers, bend, scoop, climb, go under things, everything that they do, so that we understand when we go back to our engineers and we need to develop the next product, that it's designed for how those people use it. Many of our customers have told us that we listen and use their feedback better than the other manufacturers do for this industry.
All right. Well, that's some great stuff. Grant, I hate to say it, but we are out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about Bullard?
Probably the shortest way to remember is email info@bullard.com is the way to connect with us and ask any question you might have.
All right. Grant Rowe, product manager with Bullard. Grant, it was great to have you. Thanks for stopping by
great.
And joining us.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
Well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of our guest, Grant Rowe, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, I'm Todd Schnick. Life Science Connect Radio's live coverage of Interfect. We'll be right back.